And now we go to a talk show in Salt Lake City. This was recorded in May of 1991.
Right this second. In California, are you there, Mr. Tom Metzger?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you are director of White Aryan Resistance Group. You are in Fallbrook, California.
Yes.
What's the White Aryan Resistance Group?
Well, the White Aryan Resistance is a loose-knit association of people all over the United States and actually in other areas of the world who feel that our number one issue that they're interested in above all other issues is the survival and the betterment of their race, which happens to be white. They have many other views on many other issues and sometimes even disagree quite a bit on other issues, but on the one issue they come together, and that is the best interest of their race.
Yes, Tom Metzger, I'm sure you've been asked all these questions. I always have a hard time when I talk to someone who starts off like this, trying to figure out if they're really serious or if they're just saying what they're saying. You know what I'm saying?
I understand, but what you have to do is look at...
Let me ask you a couple of things, though.
Sure.
I'll never know, but what if Tom Metzger were President Tom Metzger... Or Congressman Tom Metzger, or all-powerful Tom Metzger, what would Tom Metzger be in favor of doing? And let me hold that so we can do a traffic update, which I meant to get in beforehand. If you'll hold on the air, we'll come back for your answer.
Sure.
All right, little traffic update. All right, thank you very much, Arlen. In Fallbrook, California, on the line, Tom Metzger, director of what is called the White Aryan Resistance Group. Again, if a Tom Metzger ran the country, so to speak, what policies might change?
Well, the magic wand type thing I'm not usually into, but I will play the game. I will say this, that the first thing I would be involved in is breaking up the corporate states of America, which has now superseded the sovereignty of the American people. In doing that, we would have to defang the transnational corporations now that are totally in power in this country and throughout the world, controlling agriculture, controlling banking, controlling every part of our life, and becoming stronger and stronger and stronger, actually in a sort of a feudalist type economic system. In other words, give power back to the people and to the states. And of course, there's many other things too, and that is, of course, our ecology. We would have to limit and totally block our borders and keep the population from growing, eating up the environment.
Now, when you're the director of something called the White Aryan Resistance Group, I didn't hear anything from a racial standpoint in that, other than not letting new people in. We have a country that within a few years will be mostly non-white. Indeed, it isn't already there already. What does the director of the White Aryan Group do in so far as...
Well, if that is true, and it's certainly moving strongly in that direction, according to the demographers that I'm keeping tabs on, to where we would be totally considered a non-white nation by 2075, then the experiment in the Republican form of government in North America would be over, because the very people who brought that kind of Western Euro-civilization to this continent would basically be out of the picture and out of power. And so, of course, at that point, it's a flip a coin to see whatever happens. Of course, it would revert to barbarism, as it does in most non-white parts of the world. I like to think that the Euro-American white people would wake up before it's too late.
The white population do then right now?
Well, immediately they have to understand that their government is a criminal government, and it's not their government, and it's not interested in their welfare. It's simply a front office for a world economic, like I say, transnational corporate structure. And at that point, they must throw these clowns out either by electoral process or physically. They must replace them with true leaders of the people. Now, I am a separatist and believe that at least a majority of North America must be maintained for the best interests of white people. And that would mean then if there are other races such as blacks who want to strive for some type of separatist answer, they must strive for their own leadership too, because the future of North America...
Let me just ask you this. I guess I keep thinking you're going to say, but you know, would you let a black man, for example, own property in the United States?
Not in, in a separatist situation where we...
by a black person in this country right now if you ran the show?
What I would do is try to work out an equitable adjustment for blacks and whites, but based on the idea that whites must maintain a majority of North America, if not all.
I mean, you can't be equitable. You'd either force them to sell their property or you wouldn't. Would you?
Well, I've seen this happen in, I think, Bangladesh and India, where large populations have been separated and they've been given money to do so and so forth. Now, I'm telling you, what I like to talk about is the opposite choice you have. The opposite choice you have is that two-thirds of all violent crime in this country, by Justice Department figures that I get each month, are non-white. Now, can
you gather all blacks? I'm not saying what's right or wrong. I'm just asking, would you gather all blacks together and send them back, even though they've never been there, back to Africa, back to somewhere? Would you quarantine them like the Japanese in World War II?
I don't think it's appropriate for Tom Metzger to put himself that he is now Emperor of the United States. What I would advocate first is freedom of choice, which we don't have. I think that this could be headed off to a large degree if the American people, and specifically the white people, had freedom of choice, which I hear screamed all over the country, freedom of choice. Freedom of choice would mean that white people over these years, these last few decades, would have had the choice of who they associate with and who they develop their schools for. And what neighborhoods they want
to attend the public schools in which whites are going right now? Yes.
No, not at all. They would be separated, a separated race of people, and they. Well, I mean, the liberals keep telling me how intelligent the Negro race is, and I keep saying, well, let's have a separation and let them prove how intelligent they are.
Also, say American Japanese and
Asians would have to be deported. Absolutely. They have always been the greatest threat to the white Aryan race. They have invaded Europe over and over again. But that, they may be. And maybe that's another good reason to separate them. Yes. Well, do you want to be the slave of a Japanese conglomerate? Is that what you would like to be? Even if you're a little dumber than a Japanese? I mean, is that what you would like America to be?
Let's throw this open. I'm sidestepping it because I don't know where this all goes. I don't think that's your choice, but let me put it that way so that it doesn't look like I avoided it. I think a country that can't compete in effect becomes what it is you say you're trying to avoid for sure anyway.
Well, of course you can't compete based with the system the way it's running today, where the majority of the country is being fed by the minority. And
Tom Metzger, a director of the White Aryan Resistance Corporation.
not corporation.
In Fallbrook, California, we will be taking phone calls as quickly as we can or as fast as they come in, and coming in is what they're doing right now. Let me give you some phone numbers when they become available. There is one local line available, Salt Lake County, 570-5855, Utah County. That line available, 470-5855, and Weber County, 670-5855. And let's go to this first call. John, you're on the air with Tom Metzger, Director of White Aryan Resistance Group. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Metzger?
Yes.
I'd like to first say that I disagree with your racial policies, but I do believe you have a right in this country to spew them out. And I think those liberals give you a bum rap when they held you responsible for those kids eating that black man. I too am concerned with people using like words and speech as a scapegoat.
John, are there any words in this free country, John the caller, are there any words in this free country you would not allow a person to say?
No.
No words?
Freedom of speech means freedom of speech.
So I can say anything. I can get on
John, listen, those kids that were involved and did the meeting, they should have gotten the full extent of the law.
You wouldn't allow a person to yell fire in a crowded theater or get on a radio and say perfectly untrue and deliberately hurtful things about them.
Well, you know, it's funny that actually the one of the greatest statements ever made was by the Supreme Court Justice, who said, the most violent speech is the speech that needs protected the most radical speech. This thing about fire in a theater, I can think of about six reasons for calling fire in a theater. If there is actually a fire, what if somebody drops a cigarette on the floor and you smell a little bit of whiff of smoke and you yell fire, people run out and they get killed and you find out it was just a cigarette? What's the liability there? So that fire in the theater question is, I think, very simplistic, and I think that I'm calling there is a fire. There is the demography of this country is such that the white race is going to have to confront it and worry about it and do something about it.
You know, I recently a lot of rock and roll singers have been sued because people listen to their records and then they commit suicide, and the judges have said that they're not guilty. They're not liable, and I think that's the same case with you guys. I mean, it makes me sick every time I hear one of you guys speaking on the radio. In fact, I constantly calling up and pointing out to certain local races that a lot of crimes have been committed by the white race, like for instance, Hitler's extermination of the Jews. And,
well, Hitler was not an American. Let's keep it here in this country. I mean, the percentage of crime per capita by white people doesn't have any comparison whatsoever to the crime of the black race and the Mexicans and Chicanos.
What about the mafia?
What about the mafia? The mafia is such a that's such a small percentage of the Italian people that it's almost infinitesimal. I mean.
More relevant as we go on. We'll be back in a second. If you have a comment for Tom Metzger, the director of what the Associated calls the White Aryan Resistance Group, on the line. He is in California. Thanks to Bob White, our producer. My name is John Prince, Evening Drive Time Talk Radio. Again, if you have a comment or a question or whatever, get on the line right now. Tom Metzger, who is, again, director of the White Aryan Resistance a group speaking to us from California. You're on the air, Don, with Tom.
I have a question. Since you keep in such tight demographics on crime in the country, do you have the demographics on white crime?
White crime? I don't have it right in front of me, but you're talking about street crime or white collar crime. There's obviously a high amount of white collar crime that exists among the elitist and the what we call the race traders in our own race that are interested only in greed and things like that that run the top outfits and corporations of this country. That's where whites are mostly involved in crime. As far as street crime, you'll find the per capita rate of street crime is much lower among whites.
You say that, but those three kids of yours that went out and beat that kid with a baseball bat, were they white?
Well, let me tell you something. Those three kids were not my three kids. I never had met them or knew them before this happened. But I'll tell you this, if you want to look into the facts of the case, which most people don't care to do, that there were three men come out of a party, and they were blocked in the street by three black men. The three black men challenged them to fight. There was a fight between two white men, two black men, and then a third black man ran a half a block to get into the fight, and then a third white man got out and got into the fight, and one black died. Well, the point is that possibly manslaughter, but all these people had disobeyed the law, the blacks and the whites, and they all should have been charged equally. But that didn't happen, because in this country today, when white people have a physical confrontation with, say, blacks, and the blacks lose, the white man's going to jail for maybe a lifetime. When it's the opposite way around, it doesn't work that way.
Can you answer this? Why are the prisons in the United States filled with more blacks than whites? And there's more
Well, I think you...
blacks, black crime than white.
Well, that's because most blacks still live closer to black people, and since the nature of blacks is in many ways much more violent, they commit crimes against each other, and the more they integrate into the white community, the more that crime will be directed towards whites. And the reason the prisons are obviously full of blacks is because of the majority of black street crime, and that puts them in there.
Okay, now, if this black street crime is committed by blacks because of their nature, as you put it,
yes,
what creates this nature?
Well, evidently, nature through evolution or whatever you want to believe has endowed races and individuals with different capacities. It's my belief that when I look at Africa and see what the colonialists did there to try to sort of elevate things in Africa, and when they left Africa, it sunk into barbarism in the other countries in Africa. In fact, South Africa is a perfect example. As long as the white man's there and running the show, you have quite a good civilization, which the blacks benefit by too. But when white man moves out, forget it. They revert. Pardon me? Yes, I do.
Have you ever been to South Africa?
No, I haven't.
I got a question for you. Why is whites like you always want to put blacks or other minorities in a place they wouldn't live themselves?
I don't understand what you... I have...
Why do blacks always end up living in ghettos? Living in poor, have crappy houses. Most, 90% of the slumlords in the United States are white.
Well, most of those are... I would say majority of those whites are Jews. Well, ask the blacks. They'll tell you that. But I'll say this. That's because of their inability to compete. That's why.
Inability to compete is the inability of you to give them a job based on their ability.
No, because whenever 10 men come to me and 9 are white, it's normally obvious that one of those white men will have a much better chance of getting the job than the one black man, simply because there's more... Well... It's simply the odds are more with a white man, and that is just the way it is.
Let me ask you a question.
Or woman.
In the Fortune 500 of the United States, there's not one black CEO of any of the major Fortune 500 companies.
But you answer your own question.
No. Wait, let me finish the statement. You're going to tell me that in this day and age, with as much as you claim the government has screwed you and has screwed the white man by letting black men college, you're
going
to tell me nobody's qualified to be a CEO?
Well, I'm saying that I condemn these people at the top probably more than you do, but I'm pointing out their ability through a sort of a carnivorous nature to compete. I never said that they couldn't compete well. The people that run the corporations in this country are the meanest machines in the world, and that's how, and they've evolved a long time to get there. They've just transferred primordial warfare into the corporate world. Normally blacks will not be able to make it there. They won't, because they'll just chew them up and spit them out.
Okay, now I got one last question and I'll get off the radio. Why is it you guys can't stand up on your own ability regardless of race, creed, or color? I mean, all of us are born.
We stand.
Now why is it your white skin should give you more rights and more of anything than somebody else? And why
it doesn't. We should compete for it, and that's what we've done for millions of years, and that's what created Western civilization and high civilization around the world. That was a great competitive thing, and for the most part, the white man won.
And why are you so afraid of the Chinese and Japanese?
I'm talking about demography and birth rates here. I'm talking about simply By weight of numbers, the greatest society can be destroyed. And if the United States becomes a third world nation, the United States will fall. It'll be a banana republic, just like England is becoming right now.
Sure. If it falls, it's because the white man sold it out.
Yes, at the top, and that's what we condemn the most. This is the corporate five. We're talking about the corporate 500, like you're talking about. We're talking about a division of our white race that we are at war with, that has decided to go whoring after profits and greed to the detriment of their own race, and we have to bring them down. We want to bring them down. They are far more dangerous than any black man.
But the black man you guys should take out on the corner and beat him to
death. The black man has, none of my friends have anything to do with going out and beating a black man on the corner unless that black man tries to beat me.
Wait a minute, that you're going to tell me the Aryan nations who run around and attack people when there's five of them and one of somebody else.
Well, if someone does that, then they're cowards. I do not support that. I don't know that they do, but if anyone, five people, jump on one person to beat them to death, that's bad. And but it happens more by black people on white than whites on black.
All right.
Well, how can you?
I don't know where to interrupt here, but you've got to admit I haven't interrupted much.
No.
But I'm going to interrupt here because I must. Don, thank you for your call. Tom, if you'll stay on the line.
Sure.
Bob White, our producer, and thank you again, Bob White, for lining up in California. Tom Metzger, director of the White Aryan Resistance Group from Fallbrook, California. And Tom Metzger, you're on the line with Richard here in the Pollock area. Richard, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Is that me? You're on the air, yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I'd like to ask you a question. Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Indiana, near about 100 miles from Chicago.
Do you know any Asians or blacks that you like?
Sure. They've come to my house on many occasions. I've had meetings with Japanese Americans and blacks and people of other races. The block I live in is all Hispanic, Mexican, but my house. And
so why do you believe we have to separate them? Don't you take each person on their own?
Personally, I do, as far as judging good or bad or whatever, but the race is a very important factor, and it is a factor that, unfortunately, our youth have been educated out of understanding, and it's something they're going to have to be educated back into the hard way, unfortunately.
Well, actually, I was brought up, my dad is probably kind of racist, actually, I know he is, but not quite like you. I'm sorry to say, but in these times, I am growing out of it myself. I am beginning to accept. I am white.
Well, I would say that
other races and stuff. It's hard.
Well, some people think the path of least resistance, and they do take that. I can understand, but a big share. Yes, it is a large share of people.
As per their self, there are black people and there are whatever you want to know.
No, most people. Most people discipline, desensitize themselves by drugs and liquor and so forth and just sort of say, well, what can I do about it as their culture and their society crumbles around them and they don't realize they're crumbling and going down with it.
I'm sorry, everyone I interrupt. Everyone, I catch everyone. I don't know how to do it in either way and let everyone else in, so stick with us. On the line, Tom Metzger, director of the White Aryan Resistance Group. He is in California. My name is John Prince, Evening Drive Time Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Utah County, Chris, you're on the air with Tom Metzger. Hello? Okay, Chris, you vaporized. Let's go to this call. Andrea, you're on the air.
Hi, John.
Hi, with Tom Metzger in California.
Hello.
I was wondering, what do you consider white? Who is white?
I talk about Euro-Americans, people basically of or European, Eastern European and Russian and so forth background, whites of Australia and South Africa, Canada, all these basically white nations. I mean, a white man's pretty easy to recognize. If we can't recognize a white man, how come we have an affirmative action? We can certainly recognize something that's not white.
Okay, so, I mean, if my skin's light, then I'm white. If my great grandmother was black,
not necessarily. We actually use the 1/16th rule, and that is if your great grandfather or grandmother could have been of another race, but if their mate was Caucasian, white, Aryan, and ever since that down to this time, then you'd be obviously considered as a white.
If my great grandmother was Indian, then I'm not white.
Depends. Most people who claim to have Indian extraction today, if they had a nosebleed, they'd get kicked out of the tribe because it's a very in vogue thing to claim you're part Mongolian, which that's what the Indians were. So your grandmother could have been 1/16 or 1/4, 1/2. It's hard for me to tell. But a pure Indian is a mongoloid. And if you don't look in the mirror and see a mongoloid face in the mirror, then you're probably not an Indian.
So, to satisfy what the Aryan Nation, we would have to do some genetic or some genealogy background checks on people to determine who they were.
Well, we're just talking basic. Yes, we have some limitations, and obviously there's a gray area, but we believe in some, obviously you have to have some guidelines.
So you believe that if my ancestry is not white up to a certain point, then obviously I've been defective somehow.
Well, it just means that it'll take too much time it'll take too many generations for you to get back in the mainstream. Well, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference because it's very hard to talk to people that live in little towns and or big towns in maybe Utah, where they don't have to confront the everyday squalor and barbarism that we face here in California and they face in Washington, D.C., and New York, and Chicago, and around the country. I find that white people I talk to in these areas like this are very comfortable, and their religion keeps them very comfy. They have this guilt feeling about not if they, you know, they should love everybody, and it's very easy for them. But when you live down close into the barrio and the ghetto and so forth, and see how people operate, you get a very different racial attitude very quick. Either that, or you just join in the race mixing.
I just find it hurts me. I mean, it really does.
Well, you're going to be hurt a lot more by the transnational corporates who are now totally taking over this country and going to subject you all to being peons and nothing but workers in the field for their international economics, and they love just to breed you down into just some kind of a docile race that they can push around.
I agree that there's a part of our government that's going to hell in a handbag. I do.
They're a criminal. It's a criminal government. There's no possible.
So your answer is that somehow that we need to separate ourselves.
Well, the thing is, we are in an economic war and a racial problem, you see.
Oh.
It's two problems.
We have a third problem, the battle of the clock, so let me interrupt again. Thank you, Andrea, again. I know I'm stopping you right at the heat of passion. I don't know how else to do it. We'll be right back. Tom Metzger on the line in California. All right, on the line in California, Tom Metzger, director of White Aryan Resistance Group. Tom, I'm sure you'll have an answer for this.
Well, okay.
The government that you condemn is, in fact, supporting you because you don't have a job on welfare, I understand.
Absolutely. I was totally illegally under color of law, drawn into a total sham show trial in Portland, Oregon, where I could not hire an attorney. I had to defend myself. My son did against multimillion-dollar organizations with all kinds of...
I believe anything you say except for the part that the court wouldn't allow you to hire an attorney. There's...
No, I didn't say the court wouldn't allow me. I could not. The closest I came to hiring an attorney was one in Portland who wanted $100,000 cash up front.
You will have one appointed.
No, this was not a criminal case. You see, this is the sinister part of this. They're using the civil law now to abrogate your First Amendment rights and so forth. It was not a criminal. If it had been criminal, it would never have happened. I was never questioned, or my son, about anything in this killing in Portland, Oregon. Even the man who testified against me, who was bribed, and we have proved he's been bribed, he was never held either. So everybody gets this mixed up. It was not a criminal trial. And so when I have been beaten into the ground to the point where they're seizing my little small business here that I worked all my life and worked real hard, and they seize my mail and so forth coming in from my friends politically, then I say then we have to develop trench warfare, and I will fight in the trenches, and I will use their own system as a revolutionary weapon against them, and I will take their money, and I will force the people of California who stand idly by and watch my First Amendment privileges smash to actually finance my well-being as a lesson to them.
Tom Metzger, can you stay on the line while we go to the Dow Jones Report? We'll come back.
Sure.
All right, Tom Metzger, on the line, director of the so-called white Aryan resistance group in Fallbrook, California. My name is John Prince, evening drive time talk radio, Salt Lake County. That number, one line available there, 570-5855, the Dow Jones Report.
What about a Tom Metzger? Look deep into your soul and tell us what you see.
Actually, I'm not a prejudiced person at all because I do not prejudge. I have studied the racial situation for years. I didn't come from a racist background at all, just the opposite. In fact, I was quite liberal when I started, but through reading of books and things like that and observing around the world the functions of races, I've come to this conclusion. So it is not prejudice, but it is.
The conclusion you've come to is exactly what?
We have all evolved in a different manner from different lengths of time. The latest discoveries in the Arthur Vining's lab on the genetic structure of the DNA molecule, now they can measure the differences of ages of animals as opposed to humans, and soon we will know about the ages of the Negroes as opposed to the white Aryan people. So we have all these things at our fingertips to show that there is a definite difference between the races. But
anthropologists tell me, you will no doubt say they don't know what they're talking about, or I guess maybe I better listen to what you say about it, but they all suggest that the earliest form of life may have come in the kind of Ethiopian area, and the very first people were all black, and that in fact all of our ancestors as man were black.
Well, then, even if that were so, it would mean that some were horrible failures and others were not and went on to become something else. If some stayed in the tree longer and were afraid to come down, well, maybe that's a problem. So even that argument fails if you look at it straight on.
All right. It's one of those endless topics that I could dominate or step aside and anyway, Mark, it's yours. Go at it.
I'm white, but you're white trash.
Well, that's a wonderful statement, no question. I find that white people today are the most misled. Actually, they spent billions of dollars of propaganda turning you against your own race. And I really don't have any hard feelings because I can understand why you feel that way. You're like a computer that has not had a proper programming. You've had only one programming. That is, white people are bad. White people are guilty. White people are guilty of all the crimes of history. And we owe the non-white races everything because they're such wonderful people. And so that's the way people go around.
Before we go to NBC News and end this segment of our interview with Tom Metzger, director of the White Aryan Resistance Group. He is in California, in Fallbrook, California, to be exact. We'll be back in about 30 seconds to take more phone calls. Okay, on the line, we have Pat in the Salt Lake area and Tom Metzger in California. Pat, you're on the air.
Okay, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Where do you think we all came from, how we all started?
Well, I don't know for sure. I'm probably more honest than most. I have studied from all different directions, religious, non-religious, evolution, and so forth, and I'm not really sure. All I know is that where we are today and what we have built is a Euro-American or a European-type race. But to try to tell you what all these preachers don't know and all these other people say they know but they don't know and they lie to you, I'm not going to do that. I'm not sure.
What leads you to believe that the white race is the best race? And that's exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, I'm just saying that from my point of view, and I think historically we go back to about 3500 BC in the area of Mesopotamia, and we find the rise of the Aryan people, and they began to build high civilization, which eventually built the Egyptian culture, and eventually then to Greece and so forth, and then on up into Europe, that there was something that race had that didn't seem to be quite as in evidence in the other races that inhabited the world at that time. And they have, if you look in that radio station we're talking through, if you took everything out of there that the white man invented, you wouldn't have a radio station. The same goes with most of technology that we use today. Other races tend to be great copiers, at least some, but they're not great innovators.
Japanese
are great copiers, but most technical people will tell you they're not
great innovators of the original idea. Now, that doesn't take away. They're very sharp people, much sharper than the vast amount of Asians in Asia, and a real hardcore competitor because they operate with a tribal instinct, which is a homogeneous Japanese race. And they are, out of the 10 transnational corporations that are eating up the world, the Japanese control 6 of those transnational corporations.
Final comment.
All right. Well, we had to have a beginning, and we had to have a start. And it seems to me that it started one way, and we all became what we are now. I just can't understand how you feel that the white race, of which I am, I happen to be Italian, we are great innovators as far as I'm concerned, think that you are better just because you have white skin.
Well, I certainly don't think I'm better because I have... not because... Well, if you'd let me answer you, I'm not saying that because I have white skin. White color of the skin is just the tip of the iceberg, and it's the evolutionary signal that there may be a problem when that type of skin approaches, but...
Say you're Italian. When somebody says, "What are the Italians best at?" They don't. I never heard someone say, "Well, they're the best innovators."
They are.
They are.
I mean, they're best.
I heard they were the best of the party, the best lovers, thousands of things, but I never heard they were the best innovators.
They are.
Well, I think we can. I think that we can thank at least the Lombardic part of the Italian people for the great contribution to the Reformation and many other things.
But I don't want to go around thinking that I'm better than anybody
else. Well, do you want to think you're worse than everybody else? Does that make you feel good? Does it make you feel good to feel worse than everybody else?
You're saying that.
Well, you can't be equal. There is no such thing as equality. If you ever want to buy onto Marxism, that was the number one plank in Marxism, that we're all equal, and then the big shot up above will rule you with a rod of iron.
Look, we all can't cook, we all can't paint, we all can't guard, but we are all equal, and we all do things differently.
You can't really believe, how can you possibly, addressing all these listeners, is tell me that we're all equal? When is the last brain surgery that you have performed?
I have never performed a brain.
Well, when is the last rocket to the moon that you've designed?
I know, but I've done a pretty good.
Well, then you're not equal.
Who says I'm not? I'm not saying I'm the best at everything.
I'm not putting you down, ma'am. I'm not putting you down. I'm saying it's the perennial myth. Equality is the perennial myth.
Sir, and I'm from Los Angeles, and you're preaching.
Oh, well, then why are you up there?
I came here many years ago with my husband.
To escape the smog and the...
No, because he wanted to hunt fish, but we're going back.
Oh, you want to be in L.A., huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's wonderful. They'll be glad to see you back in L.A.,
It's
drive-by shootings every night, rape, pillage, burning.
Come on, man, that's baloney.
Oh, you mean my TV is lying to me? The most amazing thing, I really could talk about these things even more clearly with Asians and black people than I can white people. White people are the most pie-in-the-sky people in this country I've ever seen. Well, as you're in an aging society, you're going to find the non-whites, once they have the numerical numbers, which they're getting, they are not going to support you in your Social Security in your old age. They're not going to pay for it. And then what are you going to do?
I'll take care of myself, sir. But
I see. I don't hate people. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, I'm telling you the truth.
I'd much rather listen to other people than you and study my...
What part of L.A. are you moving back to?
Okay, that you'll never be able to answer.
Well, she certainly wouldn't be moving... She certainly wouldn't be moving back to Southeast L.A. She wouldn't be moving to East L.A. And she wouldn't be moving... You're from East L.A.? Have you been there lately? Are you Mexican? Oh, you're passing as a Mexican, huh?
Why would I be passing as a Mexican?
Well, a lot of Italians can, you know.
Well, I'm not, sir.
Well, I'm just saying that they may not hit you. Well, you're screaming and yelling, so I might as well get excited, too. Okay, good luck in East L.A.
Well, thank you.
The murder rate is pretty bad over there.
With the philosophy that you have, you're going to have a great murder rate, too. You better believe it.
Well, it's not my people that are doing drive-by shootings, ma'am. We don't need to.
Now,
we do drive-by thinking.
And you're just about divisiveness, and you've been very, very ugly, and I don't wish to talk to you anymore.
Bye.
Tom Metzger, that your group, I've been handed a note, has been accused of killing Alan Berg, the talk show host in Colorado. True or false?
Well, that's, my group, I mean, Alan Berg was just a nothing as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to hang a bunch of politicians, that's for sure. False.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Tom Metzger. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Bye.